Good morning. It's News Talk 1130 WISN, the Retirement Clinic, with Aaron Kowal hosting the program this morning with the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you, Paul?
Back in the big chair here the iHeart WISN studios and facilities. Speaking of facilities, big news you guys announced a few weeks ago. Opening on Blue Mountain Road in Brookfield is one of your new office locations.
Yeah, we moved our global galactic headquarters from Waukesha to Brookfield. We're right next to Portillo's. Actually, Portillo's is right next to us. And, 17775 West Blue Mound Road. Right there, we're right in the middle of it all. It is awesome. A great, beautiful new office and new to us. And it's awesome. So we're really excited about it.
Nothing with the other locations. They stayed where they were. Racine and Delafield and Port Washington and Phoenix and Cape Coral, Florida. And everything you do on WISN, which is twice a day, 5 days a week, market updates.
Yeah. Yeah. We're everywhere. Right. And so it's exciting. We're blessed to be able to help a lot of people and, it's exciting times. So we're excited about the move. I'm excited to have our guest John Koenig here today.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Officially welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always say everyone's favorite topic is themselves. So John, why don't you give us a little bit of your background, who you are, what makes you so special?
Yeah, well, I don't know about special, but Attorney John Koenig. I am with Elder Advisors Law. We have two offices, one in Janesville, Wisconsin, and one in Wales, Wisconsin. If you don't know where Wales is, just outside of Waukesha. I'm right in the corner, the roundabout at 18 and 83, the little blue building on the hill. That's our Wales office. I've been doing this for about 25 years, focusing primarily on estate planning and elder law for vast majority of that time. And what I like to talk about is the distinction between traditional planning versus modern planning.
You know, and we were talking about that, and it's like, what is the difference? I mean, okay, traditional estate planning, you know, wills and trusts, this is what happens when I die. How is that different from what you do, the modern estate planning?
Yeah, so the way I like to put it is when we're doing traditional planning, which is the vast majority of planning that's out there, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the focus on traditional planning is what happens when I die, meaning who's going to get my stuff, who's going to be in charge of things after I'm not here anymore, am I going to take care of tax issues, all of those things are being covered post-death. But the problem nowadays is, because medicine has gotten so good, people don't just die anymore.
We're living too long almost, Jan.
Almost, in some ways. And the longer we live, the more problems and issues we have. I mean, medical doctors tell us that all of us inside our body right now have these issues of the aging. You know, whether that's a mental issue like dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, whether it's a heart issue, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's eye problems. And the problem with traditional planning is it doesn't cover what happens if I don't die. And that's really where modern planning comes in, covering, yes, what happens when I die, but also what happens if I don't die.
I don't know if your father, Jeff Kowal, Aaron, has always said, what happens if you screw up, Paul, and live too long? Yeah. And that's where retirement planning comes into play, but also obviously estate planning. And you're right, we are living longer. I would assume 20, 30 years from now, those life expectancy numbers are even going to be higher.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Yeah, and it's the quality of life too. And I think that's what you mean by what if you don't die?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what if those years are not great? So tell us a bit about that. So we think, okay, that sounds interesting. What happens if I don't die? Well, I'm not dying right now. So right. How does that apply to me? Give me a little more detail on that. Tell me what you do.
Absolutely. One of the rules in our office is we always want to build a plan where our clients are staying in control of all of their things, all of their stuff. That's the word we like to use, all your stuff, as long as possible. And then when I can no longer be in charge of my stuff, let's say I've had a car accident and I'm in a coma in a hospital bed, I can't make my own financial decisions. I can't make my own healthcare decisions. I'm alive, so my estate isn't passing to the next generation, But I need to have the legal plan in place to be certain that those basic things are taken care of. And those we're talking about is a financial power of attorney, where someone else is automatically appointed if I can no longer make my own decisions. And then the other side of the same coin is the healthcare decisions. Who's going to make those decisions if I can no longer make my own medical decisions? Doctors have declared me incompetent, incapacitated, unable to make my medical decisions. I need to be certain that I have the right legal documents in place so somebody else can step in. Because sometimes it may not be the person we would automatically assume. Maybe I don't want my wife making my end-of-life decisions. There's a lot of emotions going on with that. Maybe a child is a better one to make those decisions. Maybe I need an expert even outside the family to step in and help make financial decisions. And these documents are so important, because if we don't have these documents, then we end up in the court process called guardianship.
That's always fun.
It's always fun. Yeah.
You say that tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so in other words, if we don't have a proper plan in place, we're talking with John Koenig, our guest, with Aaron Kowal today, and with regard to estate planning. Now, we'll get deep into the weeds within the show here today, but you're certainly, your family's involved in this too. So the more planning you can do ahead of time, John, the better.
Absolutely. In my opinion, if you're at least 18, you ought to have, at a minimum, financial power of attorney in place and healthcare power of attorney in place. I got to tell a real quick story, because I'm an estate planning attorney, and this happened to me. My daughter, freshman year of college, she's playing college soccer. We go to the game, and she goes up after a ball, and both of the girls miss the ball and smack their heads together. Okay, ouch. We got to take her to the hospital. We got to go through the concussion protocol, all the rest of this stuff. I take her to the ER room. She gets checked in, finds out she's 18. Where's dad sitting? Dad's sitting in the waiting room. All right. Now, she asked, can my dad come back? And I was able to come back for the examination. But every time a doctor asked a question, it wasn't to my dad. It was to my daughter.
By law, she's an adult.
By law, she's an adult at 18.
So the minute you turn 18,
you'd be in high school.
And of course, yeah, you can be in high school living with your parents. You can be 23. Heck, you can be 33 and living with your mom and dad. It's not the point. The point is, you need an estate plan. Now, people hear estate plan, they think, oh, I don't have enough money
for it. That's rich people.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with your wealth.
It doesn't, John. It doesn't, especially not with these essential documents that we all need. You know, we're not even talking about what happens, you know, when I'm not here anymore. What happens while I'm still alive? Healthcare power of attorney, financial power of attorney. I've got to have those documents in place so that the people I want to be in charge, the people I want to make decisions for me, that understand what my wishes and goals are, can be there and make those decisions. And I really can't emphasize enough how important those two foundational sets of documents are. Because if we don't have them, we end up in court. You end up with what we like to say, Uncle Sam's rules, the government rules, and there's no way around it if you haven't done that ahead of time.
Well, you see that, you know, and I don't know, this was a, I don't want to say foundational, but it was, you know, as a young adult, this was imprinted in my brain. I was a newer financial advisor, still living in Arizona, because I started my career as an advisor out in Arizona. The Terry Schiavo case. You remember? Uh-huh. I'm sure you remember that.
Absolutely.
Where it was like, well, what actually happens? Does her family? Does her husband? Who said these things weren't spelled out explicitly?
Refresh your memory on that, John. Was she in a coma?
She was in a, I don't remember whether it was an accident or whether it was a surgery gone bad, and I can't remember which one it was, but she basically became a paraplegic, and she was being tube fed. She was being kept alive artificially. And for several years, things went along fine. Husband was all for it. And then for whatever reason, and we're not going to go into the reasons, he decided enough was enough. Terry didn't want to live this way any longer. Yep. And he asked the doctors to, in essence, we're going to be blunt, so I apologize if we offend anybody. He asked the doctors to pull the plug. And then mom and dad said, no, you can't. She's alive.
Like,
she's our daughter. Yeah. And it went through the court system several times.
Not just divided the family. There is pure hatred. Visceral, yeah, with yeah. polar opposite opinions yes. on how to proceed with their daughter. This is horrible, actually. I mean,
it is.
Can this happen to anybody? Yeah, your daughter, with the soccer is kind of a brutal sport.
It can
I hope she turned out okay.
Oh, yeah, she's fine. She's fine.
Okay, had she not been able to communicate,
yeah.
or she's fuzzy and doesn't know her name when they ask her birth date, stuff like that, then what happens? Can you know, like you said, if there's no power of attorney, can even mom and dad come in?
No, we really can't. Legally, she's 18. She's an adult. And if she hasn't put into place who she wants to make her medical decisions for her when she can no longer do so, that healthcare power of attorney, sometimes called an advance directive, all right, those are the documents that she needs. And if she doesn't have them, we end up in court.
And those are pretty simple documents to get done.
Yeah, they are fairly simple documents.
My daughter's been getting a nice envelope of things to sign for a birthday present when they turned
at 18.
At 18, yeah.
Like that day. Yeah. Again, this is law. These are things that nobody walks around thinking they're going to get in that horrible, tragic car accident. Nobody wants to even think about that. It's morbid, but these things happen. So generally estate planning, you said this earlier, Aaron, there's conventional approaches and then there's
the modern estate planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of wanted to get back and, you know, expand upon that a little bit.
So, I mean, what else do you do? I mean, so what do you start with the basics with like healthcare, power of attorney, and, you know, or what?
Yeah. So always start with the basics. Got to get those basic documents, powers of attorney in place. Then the next question we ask is now what document, what legal plan do I need? And it really comes down to two options. A third one that's out there, but I'm not a great big fan of that one. But two options, a will or a trust. Right. When I'm no longer around, who's going to make those decisions for me? Who's going to manage my affairs? Who's going to get my stuff? And then, as we like to say in our office, we all have stuff, and then we all have stuff. Let me explain the difference. All right. Mm-hmm. We all have stuff, meaning we have assets. We have houses, cars, but money in the bank, retirement accounts, mm-hmm. life insurance. So that's part of the plan.
That could be considerable, too.
It could be considerable, absolutely.
Into the millions in some cases.
It can be. And if you've got larger estates, you got to worry about estate taxes. We're not going to get into that today because we've got a rollback coming with that. But it's things we have to consider. So all my stuff. But on the other side, sometimes we also have stuff going on in our family, meaning I'm in a second marriage or I'm in a third marriage or I've got a son that is fighting and struggling with an addiction for years. How in the world do I build an estate plan when I deal with that type of stuff? Or something that we don't think about, what happens if John passes away and my wife Andrea decides to find a new friend? What's going to happen to my estate at that point in time?
So you're getting into who's the beneficiary, right?
Yeah,
And can we change that as the years go by? Because, like you said, stuff happens.
Right, yes. And again, I'm going to step aside from the thought and come back to it in just a second, because one thing that you mentioned is part of modern estate planning is being certain your plan is kept current, that it's kept up to date.
Traditional, not a Ronco cooker, you set it and forget it.
There you go. Not quite that way anymore, right? Yeah, because again, you traditional planning, you did your plan, you stuffed it in a box, and it sat there until you passed away. But things have changed. Things change all the time. Family situations change. Finances change. The law never changes, right? Yeah. We have all these changes going on, so you've got to be certain you keep your planning up to date. And again, that's another distinction between.
I think, that was tongue-in-cheek, right? The laws do change.
The laws do change, absolutely.
Like all the time.
Laws change all the time.
Look at this. This show is called The Retirement Clinic with regard to certain retirement, not just taxes, but Aaron, over the years, it's hard to keep track.
Well, it is. And that's why we have a show is things change. And it seems like they're changing quicker lately with having new technology, new rules, new regulations, new congresses, new presidents.
Absolutely.
There's always new strategies and to address. I mean, there's court rulings that make you rethink retirement. And so, it's not something that you could just be like, yeah, okay, I'm good. But that's at a macro, countrywide level. But what about in your family? What if, a kid is responsible and is now 18, you want them to make the decisions? Or what if there's a divorce or a death or you're estranged or whatever? You have to stay on top of that. And that changes and has to be reflected in the documents. What if you have minor children that you want them to go to your brother if something were to happen to you? Well, now you have a falling out. Now you don't update that and kids go to someone you don't like.
So if not keeping up to date with your estate plan could be, John, is this an over a dramatized phrase, but traumatic to the family?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Got somebody listed as a beneficiary, now they're your ex-brother-in-law or whatever the case is, or ex-wife?
Ex-wife. I mean, I have numerous times run across families, you know, where I'm sitting with the husband and his new wife, and I rephrase that, I'm sitting with the wife, the husband just passed away, and the wife is saying, well, how in the world is this life insurance going to the previous spouse?
Can we do
anything about it? So it's important to continually review your planning, and it's important to keep yourself educated. That's one of the reasons why we've joined with COWAL, is because of their focus on education. Mm-hmm. You've got to get yourself educated.
What do you say? Outsource the stress to us, Aaron?
Yeah, that's absolutely. My line. But it's true, and that's why people work with us. Is okay, we know that they're going to worry about it for us. If we need to worry about it, they bring it up to us. But we want people, you know, and we like to work with your professionals. We like to work with John and others too, because there's, you know a lot. I know enough to be dangerous, but we're not estate planning attorneys. We can't draft those documents, right. That is your life is you keep up on what's changing out there, what's new, what's the new way to do things that we just can, which is a lot of times why people work with us, because so much changes with retirement planning. And you know, I compare what we do to if you have issues with your heart, you don't go to your family doctor, you go to a cardiologist. That's us. Yeah, you know, 100% of advisors.
What happens is the family doctor refers you to a cardiologist in your health network. And there's stages involved, probably no different than this. I go to COWAL, I've got a retirement planning. And you're like, wait a minute, there's estate planning needs here.
Yeah, there are different needs in retirement. So, what I was saying is 100% of financial advisors do investment planning. Not a big percentage, 6-7% do the advanced plan. Work with the other professionals. Make sure that everybody's marching down the field in the right direction. We look at ourselves like a family CFO to make sure that everything is handled. So we like to work with John to make sure that all the planning doesn't just go away like a fart in the wind.
Ron Wolf happens. Of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Do you remember after the second Super Bowl loss? Guess we're just a fart in the wind.
Yeah, right.
All the fans. Oh, just deflating. John Koenig is our guest. Hey, John, you're going to be a part of a panel with an event coming up put on by the COWAL Investment Group. These are complimentary. They're free. And what does your dad always say?
He'll say nice things about you.
Okay, there we go. Good grief. Got to get that in there.
Yes.
They are highly attended. These events are really well orchestrated. You just have to reserve your spot. John, talk about this. It's coming up April 25th. It's in Delafield. You're going to be a part of this panel.
Yeah, absolutely. And this will be the second panel we've been a part of.
Yeah.
And this is really part of what I was going back and saying earlier, education. This is an opportunity for us in a very informal, very safe setting. You're not one-on-one with the attorney across the desk. You're in a group of people. We're going to have some questions that we're going to answer. We're going to field. We even open up the questions to the audience, take some questions from them as well. But it's really all about education. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different topics at this, but really focusing on how do we protect and preserve that family legacy, that family wealth. Because as Aaron was mentioned earlier, it's not just part of the financial side of it, but you got to have the legal side of it, the estate planning side of it, and it's got to fit all together with what your wishes and desires are.
Yeah, you know, you spent your career grinding, right? In your life, time away from your family and your kids, busting your butt to get where you are. If you don't have that foundation set, if you don't have that, I mean, it could be gone. And you know, I talk about that on the radio show a lot, that I view it as a pyramid, that if that foundation of the estate planning, the right insurance protections, moving some of that risk to someone else, which some of these things happen to people. There's a reason there's all this out there, is it happens. It's not always something that happens to other people.
It's not pleasant, but these things happen every day.
Don't they? And yes. So you don't want that pyramid to crumble. If that foundation is rocky, is cracked, there's a stiff breeze can knock the whole thing over.
So this event that you're part of, I think we're just driving people to sign up on your website, Aaron, right? It's pretty simple, thecowalway.com.
Yep.
It is April 25th. I want to check my calendar to make sure that is a Thursday night, 6 to 7:30 at Revere's in Delafield.
Yeah, Revere's Well Street Tavern. I love that place.
That's a good place to have an event.
We had our wedding rehearsal dinner there.
Nice. Oh, memories are flooding back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, is great.
And you've got an office location, too, in Delafield. It's not held there. It's going to be at Revere's. So please sign up for the event, thecowalway.com.
Yep, you if go you to thecowalway.com. There's an events tab. You click learn more on the event and register now. It's real, real easy.
And questions as we get into estate planning discussions with our guest, John Koenig. John, you're with Elder Advisors Law. That's in Janesville. You got a website you want to pass on?
Absolutely, yeah. So Janesville is our main office. We also have an office over in Wales, as I mentioned. So it's still up in this area. The website is elderadvisorslaw.com, elderadvisorslaw.com. And again, pretty easy to get around. We don't have the event on our website, but we should add that to our website as well. So you can find that information as well. But we do educational events ourselves. We do workshops, so feel free to sign up for those as well, or just find out more about us.
Yeah, great to have you on the show, John. We've got you for the full hour, so you're going to be a part of the boss segment when we come back, Aaron.
Yep, absolutely. So stick around. It's about businesses. Second generation issues and transferring that. So a little preview.
And our weekly feature, the wealth management and preservation segment, still ahead as the retirement clinic moves forward Saturday mornings each week with the Kowal Investment Group. Today, hosted by President Aaron Kowal and our guest, John Koenig. President Aaron Kowal.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds good. You know what? I think I have my kids call me that, President Kowal.
See what happens. Try that and report back.
I think we have to go to an eye doctor because they'll roll their eyes so hard they'll get stuck.
that indeed could happen. Aaron is with us today, and we're on every Saturday at 10 a.m. Stay tuned for more of the Retirement Clinic. News Talk 1130 WISN. The Retirement Clinic is back on WISN. Aaron Kowal with the Kowal Investment Group hosting the show today. Our guest is John Koenig, who's going to take part in this segment. We call it the BOSS segment. The acronym, Aaron, stands for Business Owners of Their Savings and Security.
Yeah. And so we do a lot with business owners and addressing their needs. And a lot of times it's a separate set of needs. And that's why we do this, because even if you're an executive or well off, there's a lot of different financial planning and estate planning needs that go to business owners. And so I always like to pick the brain of my guest when I have him on the show, because if a lot of times for my own curiosity, I hope you don't charge me for this one, because this directly has an effect on my business, transferring to the second generation, right? I'm on the clock. Oh, he brought out a timer, and it's running now.
I'm on the clock, John.
Absolutely. it's curious, though. So, the second, we talk about succession planning, a lot of the blocking and tackling, the documentation of that. And most businesses fail in the second generation. And so they have to build the values and goals, because a lot of times the second generation, not in my case, but a lot of times in businesses, the second generation takes it for granted, and they weren't there from the beginning and didn't have the drive to grow the business. Now, I don't feel we're the case, but a lot of it is. And well, then how do you transfer that blood, sweat, and tears from the first to the next generation?
Yeah, that's difficult to do.
Yeah,
especially if you haven't really thought about it. I mean, the first question you have to ask yourself as a business owner is, if I'm no longer part of this business, what do I want to have happen to this business? Do I want it to continue on, or do I not care? And that really is, it sets the stage of where we need to take the discussion next. Because if you don't care, don't worry about it. When you're dead and gone, if the business survives, great. If it doesn't, great. Who cares? But most business owners aren't that way. You want that business that you've worked hard, blood, sweat, and tears over the years. You've really built this thing up. And now, how do we transfer that to the next generation? Not just the business itself, but the heart of the business, the soul of what you put into the business. And it really comes down to really good business succession planning. Whether that is to a key employee, whether that is to other family members, and then having that discussion of why. why did we do this? Why did we build this business? What's the why? Not just the how, but what's the why behind it? I mean, why do I do elder law? And I could tell stories, all right, family stories, because that's what happened to me, and it focused me into the elder law area. I want my next family, whether it's my family or whether it's other attorneys that are part of our family in our office, to pass this on to. They have to understand that. And it's not just the legal documents at this point in time. Yeah, they're vitally important. Buy-sell agreements, the succession plan, all of these things need to be in place so the legal side of it happens. But the side of it that often isn't discussed is, how do I transfer my values to that next generation? And you've got to put that in a discussion with the family in detail. And it doesn't, it's not always an easy discussion to have.
Right. I know.
Yeah, but important.
Vitally important.
Yeah. Vitally important. And because they can have drastically different views on the business and how to do business, how to treat people.
Well, especially, I think, a family business, right? That there's so much raw emotion involved. And if, what if an unexpected death does occur and you don't have a succession plan in place, Aaron?
Right.
Then you get a lot of the kids are fighting, and you're grieving. It can be a mess.
Yeah,
but it can be avoided if you've got a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you do that then? How do you transfer those values to the next generation? I have my ideas. How do you step in?
You got to start with.
I gotta be honest. That's not something that I've really heard from a lot of estate planning attorneys in the past, that they talk about the values. They talk about the mechanics of moving it from one generation to the next, from one owner to the next, and how to get that done. But the touchy-feely, blood, sweat, tears, values conversation. How do you do that?
Yeah. What do you mean by values, too?
Yeah, so you got to start the conversation really with dad. Started the business, 30 years ago. The questions I ask is why? Why did you start this business? What was your intent? What was your desire? What did you want to see happen? Way back there at the beginning, right? And then sometimes we have family dynamics going on where that conversation with the family members at the beginning isn't the easiest thing. So sometimes with the attorney, attorneys are also called counselors, right? So that part of that counseling hat is, let's have this discussion. Let's talk about way back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever it was, when you started this business, what was your desire? What was your drive? What was your focus? What did you want to accomplish? How that changed over the years? And then we carry that discussion on into now, when you're no longer able to be part of this business, what do you want to see your next generation? And have you had that discussion with them yet? If not, let's bring them in. Let's the three of us, the five of us, however many there is, sit down around the table and let's just have that discussion. It's got to start with the discussion. I'm certain you and your dad, Aaron, have had those discussions, right? What is this business about? I've had the discussions with my partner in our law office. What do we want to do when we can no longer be part of this business? How's that next, those younger attorneys that we're bringing in and we're training up, how do we give them our vision? And it starts with the communication, with the conversation. And that's sometimes the hardest thing to start with.
And hiring in the first place, you have people that you think match your values. Absolutely. And what you, and the good that you want to put out there, your interpretation of that. And I think that's absolutely key. You can hire somebody, they can be brilliant, but if they're not a good person, you can't train them in that. You can't train them to have that or to value your clients above all else. But I could take somebody that doesn't know a lot of the business and train them to be a great advisor, a great client service specialist, a great person to take over a business, if they have the right values and the right mindset and the right, the right drive. Yeah.
And the other side of it is
just the documents.
Right. Yeah. The other side of it is, what happens if we have three family members and only one of them wants to or even capable of taking over the business? How do we plan the estate so that they're not taking the majority of the assets and the other kids are feeling left out? And
so Jimmy gets the business, but Sally and the other brother don't get it, but they feel they should get some slice of the pie.
Exactly.
I mean, this is really complicated stuff. And this is the boss segment, so we're focusing on business owners. But, John, businesses can be a part of an estate plan, right?
They absolutely are part of an estate plan.
And
absolutely.
Should be, right?
And should be.
I mean, who gets this stuff?
Yeah.
And it can be all spelled out so there aren't arguments and family divisiveness.
Yeah. So we're minimizing those arguments. Everybody's going to argue. They're still going to happen. You know, when the peacemaker is no longer around, then the families are going to start arguing and fussing. But if we have a clear plan that not just covers the stuff, the house, the investment accounts, but covers the business side of things as well. And if you have a business, you know, it's going to be important to understand how it's structured. Do we have a corporation? Do we have an LLC? Is it a sole proprietorship? You know, what are the key employees? Who's going to be involved with this? Is all of the family involved? Is it just one family involved?
This is all size businesses, right?
Absolutely.
Small mom and pops, larger corporations. We're not just talking about the big corporations.
We're not just talking about big corporations because the majority of businesses out there aren't big corporations. Majority of them are the smaller mom and pop stores.
The backbone farms, of America.
The family farm.
Yeah.
That's another thing that we deal with a whole lot. What's going to happen to the family farm? Because that is a business part of the plan.
And family.
And family.
It's a lot of it's family farm. A lot of it's all intertwined.
Touchy conversations, though, right, Aaron? How do you? Maybe Dad doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about my demise and who gets my farm, but the kids want to know, and it needs to be talked about, but in the right way.
Exactly, and that's where you have, if you have someone guiding the conversation, it helps to have that happen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're right. Sometimes Dad doesn't want to talk about it. Sometimes Mom doesn't want to talk about it. You know, but the kids are like, Dad, you can't keep doing this. What's going to happen if something happens to you? So we've got to have those hard discussions. And that's really part of the estate plan. I mean, for most people, we don't have a business. But those that do have to take that discussion beyond the basics, beyond just what happens with all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with my business and how are my values going to get passed on to the next generation?
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Part of the boss segment today with our guest, John Koenig with Elder Advisors Law. We can reach you on your website, right?
Absolutely. Elderadvisorslaw.com.
And of course, questions for this program. I just want to give out your number, Aaron, because the Coal Investment Group is more than happy to hear from any WISN listener. 262-522-4040.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to add, I guess, that you know, this is what we do, and that's what John does, is what I do. So that's why people work with people like us, is to help walk through some of these tougher issues that aren't always easy. And right. I think it's probably a lot easier for you to tell dad something than it is for a kid to say something. And you know, we talk about that, like when we've had corporate trustees on, that it's easier for them to say no as part of a trust discussion than it is for family members.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. So that's really good. So thank you for your insight on that. We have just a couple minutes before we have to break again. I wanted to quickly touch on, and we can get into it a little bit later too, but blended families. I know it's a little bit different. Talk about touchy topics, right?
Touchy topics.
How do you deal with blended families, protections, making sure that you know your assets go where you want them to go? And I know this is more than a couple minute topic, but
much more than a couple minute topic.
But again, 30 seconds. Tell us about
30 seconds again. Is going to start with a conversation,
right?
Right.
And we can finish the conversation after the break too.
Yeah. So the conversation has to be, all right, we've got this blended family, all right? Sometimes it's my stuff, sometimes it's her stuff, sometimes it's our stuff. We've got kids from my marriage, kids from her marriage, sometimes kids from our marriage, and we're going to have friction. It's built into the system. Again, nothing wrong with a second marriage. It's great, not a problem.
Well,
but we got to communicate.
That's very common in America. Divorce rates over 50%. So these are facts of life.
Right. And we've got to put a plan together where mom and dad are understanding what the dynamics are in the family. Oftentimes families, blended families, second marriages, they're great. No issues, no worries, no concern. The kids get along great. But just as often, the kids don't get along. So we've got mom's kids and dad's kids that just don't communicate, that don't talk. And dad passes away. Mom's kids start saying, well, why don't you change the plan? Why don't you make certain that dad's kids aren't going to get anything? Why don't you get it all to us? Dad kids are saying, well, wait a minute. Dad died. He had X number of dollars that we know about. Where's our money? So it's got to be down to, again, we start with that communication, that discussion, and then take that discussion and put it into a written plan where mom and dad know what's going on and the kids know what's going on. Whether they have to get involved immediately up front or somewhere down the road, we got to have that discussion, because if we don't, This is one of the areas that you see people contesting estate plans, contesting their trusts, contesting the wills, because they didn't think it was fair.
But if I'm correct, if you don't have an estate plan, the courts can get involved. We hear the word probate all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's time, that's money, that's public record. So there's some advantages to having that plan in place.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in our office, we like to say where there's a will, there's a probate, right?
That's good. Like,
I have not heard that.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, I've got a will, so I'm going to avoid probate. Well, no. If you have individually owned assets, name, my name only, nobody else's name is on it, no beneficiary designation, no payable on death designation.
Right.
The account is in John's name, and in Wisconsin, if it's $50,000 or more, we have to go through that probate process where the court's involved. We have all those issues, the cost, the time delays, the publicity, everything out there that we don't like. We end up there if we haven't put that proper plan in place to avoid probate. And that's really one of the biggest reasons why people do estate planning. One of the biggest reasons why people do trusts is to avoid probate. But we tie that back to the blended family, keep it out of the court system, so that the family then is going to be in charge and control of what's happening with mom and dad stuff.
Good stuff with John Koenig today. As we continue, we'll come right back with the weekly wealth management and preservation segment, kind of tie this estate planning, blended families. And yeah, it's good advice. Get this stuff done and wrap it up. There's a peace of mind that goes along with all planning too, retirement planning. We are hosted by, is that the right way to say it? Hosting the show today, Aaron Kowal. Thank you for a great show once again. And an event coming up we'll tell you about before we're done with the program today. That event is put on by the Kowal Investment Group, April 25th. All of that's ahead of us on the Retirement Clinic right here in WISN. Back with the Retirement Clinic, and it's time for the weekly wealth management and preservation segment. And with this week's Aaron Kowal, you've got a guest for this segment who's going to help us out. John Koenig is here.
Yes. And you know, this actually ties in, I think, nicely to our, what we ended on in the last segment. But tell me about separate shared trust. So you built up some assets. How do you get that to the kids? Because when you die, not always you want them to just get cash.
Right. And again, that goes down to the counseling, down to the discussions. Most estate plans say, when I die, my kids get their check, get their money. They can do whatever they want to with it. And that's fine. If that's what you want, that's fine. But if we're talking about preserving your family wealth, we need to go beyond just the simple outright distribution. Kids get their check, do what they want to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes kids have stuff going on. There's my stuff word again, all right?
Yeah.
What if we've got a child that just can't manage money? A spendthrift.
Yeah.
What if we have a child that has some type of an addiction? What if we have a child that's in his third bankruptcy and he's going to inherit my stuff? He'll get it right this time. What about the in-laws? What about, you know, Nathan, my son-in-law? Am I worried if Carissa, my daughter, inherits all my stuff and he divorces my daughter after she's inherited my stuff? I potentially could lose half of those things to that divorce. So this is a discussion.
You get remarried and some of that could go to someone that you never even met.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is more of that idea of the modern estate plan. We have to ask the questions beyond the simple things. What's going to happen when I die? Now I need to talk about what's the best way for my kids, my beneficiaries, my heirs to receive their estate.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not best to give them a check. Sometimes we want to spread it out over time. So one of the techniques we use in our office is we build inside of mom and dad's plan what we call a separate share trust. If you think about a box being mom and dad's trust, we've got three little boxes inside of mom and dad's big box. Or if you want to think of the buckets, I know financial advisors use the buckets all the time,
yes.
All right? You know, so when my three kids die, when I die and my three kids inherit my estate, they're not going to get a check. They're going to get a box with their money, with my money in it.
Yeah.
They can control that box, but it's what we call a third party trust. It's an irrevocable type of a trust. It's not their money, it's my money. And then I can build into that what the control is going to be. It can be as simple as, hey, Carissa, whatever you want to do with this, you can do with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave it in that trust and protect it, if there's ever a divorce or anything else going on in your life, that's fine. Or am I going to build it in 10% this year, 10% next year, going on in that situation as well.
And you get as creative as you want to, I'm sure, with any of that. You could say they don't get it. None of my kids get anything until they're 65.
Or 75.
Or 75. Or you know what? I don't want them to get anything because I don't like them, but I love their kids.
I'm just going to bring that up, John. Yes. Or nothing. And it's your money. You could do what you want. And that's the whole point of having stuff done in a plan in writing.
Or you could say, I want to be remembered for 100 years. And so it's going to go to these heirs through these lines once a year on my birthday. They get a certain amount.
Sometimes we have that family cabin up north or down south in Florida. Can we protect that so significant generations going on can continue to have the use and enjoyment of that?
Well, in this state, we got a lot of gun collections and just kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. Lots of stuff that needs to be talked about. To be certain you got your estate plan together so everything you want to have happen is exactly what's going to happen to your plan.
Now, the word stuff has been used a lot in the show today.
It's my favorite word.
A lot of stuff to get worked out. Getting a plan together with our guest, John Koenig. Your host, Aaron Kowal, is here today. When we come back, this great event coming up. It's April 25th. That's a Thursday. 6 p.m. in Delafield at Revere's.
Yep.
And we'll give out that information. These are complimentary events. Yes. That the Kowal Investment Group puts on. You've got a great website. There is information there. I think there's an events tab.
Yeah, events tab on the top right. Click on that and you'll get some more information. You can register there.
TheKowalWay.com. The Retirement Clinic is on WISN. Wrapping up today's Retirement Clinic with thanking our guest, John Koenig, with Elder Advisors Law, and part of this event you're putting on, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you for doing this event with us. I think it's going to be a great event. If you like this show, you're going to love the event that you do, and get into a lot more detail in the more intimate setting on April 25th, 6 o'clock, at Revere's Wall Street Tavern in Delafield.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night. You'll be on this panel, John, talking about?
Yes, talking really about estate planning. Talking about your stuff, talking about that modern approach to planning to be certain that you have things covered if you don't die.
John, a great show today. Lots of information and education. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's John Koenig. This is Aaron Kowal. Fantastic show once again, Aaron.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it. It's always great to see you.
You'll be on Monday through Friday, you and your staff, doing those market updates during the Mark Belling Show, twice a day, 3 and 5 p.m. news blocks. And, of course, back next week for the Retirement Clinic, right here on Saturday mornings on WISN Milwaukee.